I noticed when I get tired, the glasses got to come out. That's kind of weird. Sunday morning, I can see pretty good. Wednesday night, the glasses got to come on. Open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 14, verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leaped and walked. How about that? See, evidently, Paul had been preaching the gospel. Because it said right here that this man had faith to be healed. So we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, most people, most of the church, seems to agree that forgiveness of sins is a basic teaching. But it's not, or they seem to have missed it. You know why I say that? Because there's a lot of Christians running around with a perpetual sense of guilt. There's Christians running around in condemnation. See, condemnation actually causes broken fellowship. See, that's what got Adam. When Adam was in the garden, he felt stress. He felt fear. But the very root of that was condemnation. God went into the garden and he said, "Adam, where are you?" As if God didn't already know where Adam was. He knew exactly where Adam was. He was trying to get Adam to locate himself. He said, "I was afraid, so I hid." There's a lot of Christians in those shoes today. They're afraid that what they've done was too much for God's forgiveness. They don't understand the power of the cross. See, this is why the gospel of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the gospel. So when you understand that the gospel is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, every single thing that's attached to that is part of the gospel. It's important to not take anything away from it or add anything to it. But that's one of the challenges that we have today. Is there are people that take away from the gospel because their doctrine doesn't agree with that. And there's people that add to the gospel because they don't think the gospel is enough. We need to just accept Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what we live by. See, broken fellowship, these people actually have this feeling that God's far away. There's people that have a fear of losing their anointing. So let's look at what Paul preached right here in verses 8 through 10. So there said a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. See, the Holy Spirit described this man as having three things wrong with his feet. Number one, he had an impossible situation. You know, an interesting thing about this guy Jesus walked by this guy. See, Jesus didn't heal everybody. He healed everybody that came to him in faith. This man sat there. You know, the guy that was crippled that Peter ran into? And he said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. You know, silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. The guy got up, took off. You know, Jesus walked by that guy several times too. That guy sat at the gate of the temple. Jesus walked right by him. And that guy didn't get healed. See, our faith has something to do with it too. In fact, that's what he told the woman with the issue of blood. She came down. I just learned this the other day. It's so cool because I've always wondered how this woman heard about this. Well, she told herself that if she just ran down there and touched the hem of his garment, that she'd be healed. So she ran down there and touched the hem of his garment, and she got healed. And Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole. And I spent a lot of time wondering where she had heard about healing, to have faith for healing if she just go touch his garment. Well, I found out something, that the tassels on his robes, they called those wings. And in the Old Testament, it said he'd have healing in his wings. It's these tassels on his robe. She read that in the Bible, and she got faith to be healed, and she acted on it, and she went down. She put her faith into action and went down there and received her healing. Praise God. That's how she got faith to be healed. She read the word, she heard the word, she knew the word, she believed the word, she acted on the word. That's how we do it. Now, this man, he heard Paul and he had faith. See Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Let's look at that. That's a good one to look at. Every once in a while, we should look at some of these scriptures that we just quote. We talk about them all the time. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the word of God here is not theos for God, but Christos for Christ. See, you can preach from Genesis to Revelation, from the perspective of Jesus and his grace. Did you know that? You can preach Jesus all the way from Genesis to Revelation. In the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed. And in the New Testament, he's revealed. You go back. My suggestion for people is to get a solid understanding of the New Testament, and you're standing in grace, and then go into the Old Testament looking for types and shadows of Jesus. You can find him all over in there. You can find him all over in the book of Leviticus. First time I read Leviticus, I thought, what a mess. My gosh. How... I couldn't get my mind wrapped around that. Another thing we need to make sure of is don't go back into the Old Testament looking for something to do, because you'll find it and you won't like it. Now, you go back in there and you can find promises. You can go back in there and you can find Jesus all over in the Old Testament. once you have a solid understanding of grace, and then you start understanding the covenant and these sacrifices, you'll find Jesus all over in there. Now, the thing about Jesus and his word, it will build faith in your heart. See, you could look, you could study the law every day, and that's not going to build faith in your heart. In fact, what it'll do, it'll build condemnation. In fact, Paul called it the ministry of death. Paul called the law the ministry of death. Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In fact, he sat under the feet of the high priest. He was being trained to be the high priest. He knew the law inside and out. He knew every square inch of it. There was nothing about the law that you could quiz him about that he didn't know. And he counted it all as loss once he received Jesus. And he didn't look back. He didn't go back there trying to keep some of it. He just went forward white hot under the ministry of grace. That's what he tells us to do. And for some reason, Christians have this weird idea that we got to mix some law with grace because that keeps us balanced. It doesn't keep you balanced. It keeps you confused, keeps people frustrated till they give up. And Jesus calls it lukewarm mixture. It won't do. In Acts chapter 14, verse 7, says, and there they preached the gospel. That's what that man heard. He heard the gospel. He heard the gospel. He did not hear divine healing. He heard the gospel. Now, healing is part of the gospel. But that's what he heard. What is the gospel? Of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, you can't separate healing from the gospel. In fact, our healing was paid for before our sins were. Because Jesus had to go and get scourged. That's what paid for our healing, was those stripes on his back. That happened before he got on the cross. But that's still Jesus Christ in him crucified. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the blood. Now let's look at Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. See, the man believed and he walked away. And that, in fact, it says, be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's the gospel. In fact, that's how I got born again. Somebody said, you're forgiven. Jesus was in a house, and these men took their friend, and they went up and they tore a hole through the roof, and they let their friend down through the tiles of the roof in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, be healed, my son. No, that ain't what he said. He didn't say anything about healing, did he? He said, your sins are forgiven. And the guy got up, rolled up his mat, and took off. What happened? Jesus addressed the very root of the issue. He knew that that man was condemned. And he got rid of that root of condemnation. You know, the doctors, they figured out a long time ago that stress, you know, when people would get sick, they'd have heart problems. They'd say, well, you got to avoid stress. So then people stopped, you know, when they had heart problems, they stopped working. They didn't want stress. And then they decided that stress is caused by fear. So then they decided they needed to get rid of the fear, so they started handing out these pills, these anxiety pills, by the pounds, and thousands of pounds. But they're just treating symptoms. They're not getting to the root. They don't know how to get to the root. They haven't figured out how to get you to not feel condemned. Only Jesus can get you to not feel condemned. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Holy Spirit, he spends a lot of time trying to improve our fellowship with God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is one of the places he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. When we're born again, we're in Christ Jesus. That condemnation that people feel is not coming from God. That's a false teaching that sometimes gets preached from a lot of pulpits. You know, and I've heard a lot of preachers say this. They said they did something and the Holy Spirit just got all over them and they felt so bad. You know, there's innocent ears that are listening to that junk. The devil uses the law to beat Christians up. He reminds them of their failures. But the Holy Spirit spends his time reminding us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? He's spending his time convincing us that we are in right standing with God and we are not condemned. That's good news. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 13, verse 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. We're going to find somebody to preach to. Could have been them, but they didn't like it. In fact, they fought it. See, not everybody is going to love the word of grace. Not everybody is going to love the law of liberty. See, there's still a religious mafia running around out there. See, there was a religious mafia in Jesus' day. They're always, always trying to find some way to argue with him. They're always trying to find some way to just anything they could do to stop him. There's always going to be somebody that's going to try to contradict your faith. There's always going to be somebody around to try to argue with what you believe. I have even seen books that we went to a church one time, and these guys said, "Man, this seems like a good church. You know, this is one of our assignments." So we walked out of there. The guy was just full of it all the way through. And we got out of there, and he said, "Man, that guy's good." I went back into their little bookstore back there, bought this little book for $3, went out there, handed it to them, and they said, "This is why faith is not good for Christians today." I said, "He's full of it." But there's always somebody that's going to have some reason why you should not be able to stand by faith. Don't listen to them. Don't entertain that idea for one second. I've even had Word of Faith people, preachers, try to tell me why I was being foolish for standing in faith. I said, "No, them doctors are full of it. Jesus is not. And he's all I got." Acts chapter 13, verse 41 says, "Behold, you despisers, and wander and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." See, that was Paul's rebuke for not receiving the gospel of Christ. He presented it to them. They seen the miracles. They seen these people be crippled for years and years and years. Then they seen them walk. And then they got mad at them. And Paul said, "Hey, you know what? You could have listened." I still get religious people get mad at me all the time. You know, and I finally found a way to talk to them and said, "Don't worry about it. You're not going to receive anything you don't believe. So just go on." Yeah. And you're not. See, the man at the gate, he could have received healing long before Peter showed up. But I guess he wasn't ready yet. His faith hadn't reached that level yet. He wasn't ready to believe. I really like the blind man with the coat. Jesus come walking by, and this guy started screaming at Jesus. And the disciples said, "Oh, you go somewhere else. We're not consorting with you." The disciples that had been with Jesus. No, you go. Jesus said, "Hey, what do you want?" And he said, "That I might receive my sight." And Jesus said, "Come here." And I always wondered why this guy just threw his coat. That's what it says, just threw his coat away. Well, we got to understand something about the culture and the traditions and the time and everything. That coat was not just a warm, cozy coat. That was a special coat that beggars had to wear. That was basically his license to make a living. As long as he had that coat, it was legal for him to beg. So Jesus said, "Come here." This guy just chucked his livelihood away, his only source of income. He threw it away. Why? Because he believed he was going to get what he needed from Jesus. He didn't need that thing anymore. Amen. A lot of people hold on to their cane waiting for Jesus to heal them. They'll believe Jesus when they see it. And they don't understand that Jesus did it. They need to chuck the cane and receive it. Act on it. Let's look at Acts chapter 14, verse 3. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part held with the apostles. See, these guys sat there, and they preached the gospel. Remember in the Great Commission, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Cast out devils, speak in other tongues, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You shall take up serpents, they shall not hurt you. Well, guess what? These guys went out there, they did what Jesus told them to do. A couple verses later, it says that God was with them, and he confirmed his word with signs and wonders. It confirmed his word with signs and wonders. Well, they went out and preached the gospel to every creature. They went out there and they just preached the gospel. They didn't preach anything else. They preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, he can see there, verse 4 says the multitude of the city was divided. So everybody's going to love the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified, right? No. No. Not even all the church people are going to be happy about it. There's some people that just get rabidly mad when you start talking about healing. There's some people that just get rabidly mad when you start talking about finances. They just don't want to believe the full gospel. And I notice this. People say they preach the full gospel to make people feel better. So they'll say, yeah, I preach the full gospel. Somebody say, okay, good. I can go to church there, it'll be all right. But people don't test the spirits. I learned early when somebody says they preach the full gospel, I say, okay. So you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And if they back up any, I say, you're not preaching the full gospel. You believe in laying hands on the sick, anointing them with oil. If they back up, I say, you're not preaching the full gospel. Don't tell me you preach the full gospel if you're not willing to cast out devils. Don't. That's not the full gospel. If you cut any part of that out, that's not the full gospel. You've taken something away from it. Acts chapter 14, verse 5. And then there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. Boy, they're really loving the gospel there, ain't they? Kenneth Copeland went down to some island. I can't remember where it was, but he was going to have some meetings down there. And anyway, he said this lady come running up there, her baby had died. And she come running up to him with this dead baby. And they prayed over this baby, and that baby came back to life. And Kenneth thought, man, the revival is going to be on now. And he said, man, they stayed away. They stayed away by the hundreds. Said it was really, really slow. There was not much activity. Not everybody's going to receive the gospel. But you know something? Jesus went in there, and the man that lived in the tombs that had the legion of demons, he come out there, and Jesus cast those demons out of him. And the guy said, "Can I go with you?" And he said, "No. No, you go back into Decapolis and tell the good things that I've done for you." And all these, you know, the pig farmers come down, and they said, "Oh, man, he cast these demons into our pigs, and they jumped off the cliff." They ran back town and told everybody about it. Everybody come out and said, "You got to go somewhere else." So pretty much there was this one guy that got changed when Jesus was there. Now you would have thought this guy that had broken chains and caused everybody trouble all over the place, when they seen him set free, you would have thought that would have caused a revival. Now wouldn't you? No, they got mad. They said, "You go away." But Jesus came back. Jesus went away, but the guy stayed there, and evidently he did what Jesus told him to do, because they had a big revival when Jesus got back. Well, Acts chapter 14, verse 3. "Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands." You need to just make sure that you're hearing the gospel that Paul preached. In fact, Paul said, if any man, even if an angel, anybody, gives you any other gospel than that what I gave you, let him be accursed. That's just in case you're kind of curious. That's why I read so much of the Bible to you guys, because I don't want to get a little ways off the trail. I'm going to read it there, because I know that's what Paul wrote down, and I'm not interested in that curse thing. I don't want no part of that. So I'm going to preach the full gospel. I don't care if it makes somebody mad. I don't care. They're going to hear about all of it. You know, one thing Jesus said, he's talking to the religious mafia. He said, "The traditions of your forefathers have made the word of God to none effect." We're still dealing with that. The traditions of people's forefathers have made the word of God to none effect. I run into them quite often. People want me to pray for them and say, "Why isn't your pastor praying for you? Why doesn't your pastor address this?" And then they get out of a jam, then they go running off where their friends go and hang out with them till they get in trouble again. Isn't that convenient? Thank you, Father, in the name of